Hey, everybody, this is Brad Williams, and I am the pastor of B4 Church. Welcome to our podcast. My prayer is that this would help you behold God, that you would see him for who he is, that you would belong to community, that you would be everything that you were created to be, and that you would be able to dream beyond the limitations in your life. So I hope you enjoy this teaching, and we look forward to seeing you in person soon.
Hey everyone, welcome to the B4 Podcast. My name is Alex.
And I'm Ashley.
And together we're the host of this conversation today, and we have a special guest with us.
We do. We have made it a practice of something we are going to do going forward, of every time we have a new staff member added, we want to have them on the podcast and get to know them a little bit. So today we have Miss Noelle Wood.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Noelle.
Happy to be here.
We're really happy that you are here.
We're very excited.
Yes.
So just for context, what is it exactly that you do here at Beaverton Foursquare?
What do I not do? I got hired on, it's called Experience Coordinator. And essentially what I cover is kind of all aspects of what Sunday mornings kind of feel and look like. So like anywhere from the welcome team to the Safe Campus team, ushers, we kind of cover all of those teams and make sure friendliness is happening and genuine connections and kind of just the whole vibe of the church.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I also help with a lot of events at the church and
put together a mean playlist.
I put together meanest playlist.
Yeah. Yes. In fact, we're recording this just after fall launch.
Yes. I'm super proud of that playlist.
That was
by the way.
Really good.
When I heard Amy Grant, Baby Boo, I was like,
yes. I'm actually considering making a playlist that's just called Baby and having multiple songs of just different baby references. And I think it's going to be a winner.
Well, we can use it for baby dedication.
There you go.
Perfect.
It's the perfect thing. Which perfect. Are coming up next Sunday anyways.
Yes,
so
they are.
There we go. You turned the courtyard and you and my girls turned the courtyard into a dance party after the 11 o'clock service.
Every time. I mean, how can you not?
Your playlist and their moves. That was
your
the place to be.
Are just
thank
too
you.
Cute.
They're pretty fun. Yeah, I do appreciate
they're so
that.
Fun.
What gets you excited about your job here?
People, I mean, I've worked at so prior to this job, I worked at Starbucks for almost 15 years.
Oh, wow.
And if there's something that I can say I'm a professional at, it's people. It's reading people. It's, kind of understanding what they need from me. I'm really particular about making sure with the connection being genuine, you're taking their personality into account and not just being the same level with everyone. Obviously, I'm a more outgoing person and kind of bubbly and loud, but not everyone wants that or needs that in the moment. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's just about my passion really comes from that genuine, real connection with people, especially at church, can get missed. I think, and we can all, and even like being in ministry can feel robotic sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just like a passion for, kind of starting each Sunday fresh and, making sure I'm also being genuine, in the mix of it. And so honestly, that's probably the number one thing about my job.
So you mentioned that you're an expert at people, seeing people, connecting with them. Was that something that you were always like naturally good at? Was that something that had to be developed over time?
Did you pick that up with the barista gig?
Well, yeah, I perfected it with the barista gig for sure. I grew up, my dad is a pastor and currently still in Foursquare.
PKs
and
unite.
PKs.
I know none of that, but I am raising four of them. So.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. And they'll have fun issues. But
we can tell you about
those
later.
They'll deal with later when they're older. I grew up around a lot of people, I guess, all the time. You know, you're the church kid running around just like your girls are dancing and the church is like their second home. And so for me, that was something that I was around a lot as a kid. But also my mom was really good and very specific about and taught me, like, look people in the eye. It doesn't matter what age they are. Make sure you connect with them. I always tell myself I'm not an ageist. If I'm a friend, if I'm friends with an 80-year-old, I'm friends with an 80-year-old. If I'm friends with a 15-year-old, they're my friend. Mm-hmm. It's not any different. So I don't know. I felt like my parents kind of ushered that in me slash obviously natural mm-hmm. kind of part of who I am too.
That's mm-hmm. cool. That's awesome.
But yeah. They did a great job.
Good job, Mom mm-hmm. and Dad.
Thanks, Noel. Mom and Dad.
Right. We appreciate
Shout out
that.
Perry and Kathy Wood.
Ooh.
Love them.
So besides baristaing, were there any other things that kind of, that you've done previously that you, one, just think are fun for us to know, or two, you think have helped you become who you are today and to be able to minister in the way that you can?
Yeah, I also was an event planner.
That'll do it.
In the mix of that. Yeah, I was
like
a wedding.
Events.
Actually, currently still own the business. Yeah, it was a wedding events. I did that for a couple of years, and then COVID happened and kind of
turned good for that industry.
Everything around.
yeah.
I mean, ministry's kind of always been on my radar as something that I've maybe been called to do or maybe not. I don't know. You go through Bible. I was in Bible college at Life, and I remember having you always have the moment of the prayer, should I do vocational mm-hmm. vocational ministry or not? And I always just felt like, and it ended up, doors kept being closed at that time too for ministry. And so I kind of was just like, I remember praying one day and felt like the Lord just told me who you are as a ministry. Mm. And that freed me to anywhere I was planted was a ministry. So mm-hmm. me at Starbucks was a ministry. Me dealing with bridezillas was a ministry.
That is a very unique
bridezillas.
Ministry.
Did you ever come across a groomzilla? Was that ever a thing?
No, the grooms were so chill.
Yeah. What about the
They
like,
also have nothing
mother,
to worry about on the day of. Sorry, men, but they it's, really have the easiest
up.
Job. Yeah.
But I feel like that it's either bridezilla or mother of the bridezilla. Am I incorrect
the
in that?
The mothers are rough. Yes.
Can be.
They can be.
Some of them are very kind, but some of them want to be involved in just every minute little detail, which I get. I do. It's their day and they're paying for it typically.
Yes.
So, but yeah. Anyway, I feel like, just kind of a combination of that and kind of led me here. And I feel like I'm like doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing.
That's
and
so
I feel
cool.
like I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be.
That's awesome.
It's really cool. How God kind of just, you think life's going one way and then, mm-hmm. bam, at the turn of a hat, you can go another way.
So I'm interested in your, like, faith story. I'm interested. Like, obviously, you grew up as a PK and then you went to Life, which was a Bible college then. Mm-hmm. It's a university now, but it is essentially Four Square's preparation for ministry school. So it tells me that, you know, you've had and been around Christianity for a long time, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything.
Yeah, for sure.
And so I'm curious if you could just share a little bit about your own journey of faith.
Yeah. I got saved when I was 4 years old on my parents' waterbed.
Were you drowning?
Were you baptized? Right on the waterbed.
Right
just
then and there.
Multiple things happened.
Good old waterbeds, am I right?
Right.
The sounds are so gross. Yeah, I prayed with my mom. I mean, I remember even at 4 years old knowing I wanted to accept Jesus. It wasn't even just a little kid mm-hmm. thing, you know. I knew it's what I wanted. And one thing, and this could probably just even be a gift from the Lord, is I have a very foundational faith. It kind of has guided. And not to say I've done everything right or anything like that, but it's just kind of guided me throughout every decision, even if that's a bad decision. Having to ask for forgiveness on the other side. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's guided my whole life. So mm-hmm. I got saved when I was 4, was a PK. Went to like every Camp Crestview, you know, summer camps at Camp Crestview and, you know, got baptized when I was 11, baptized in water. And then, at Camp Crestview, I think I was 14, got baptized in the Holy Spirit, which for me changed the game, which I know like the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues can be kind of a sensitive issue, and I think a lot of it's been mistreated and pushed a little too much in certain ways. I think especially in our age group, I'm 35. But for me, it's such a personal way for me to connect with the Lord. And it's one of my only real tangible things, because I think everything else, it's up in the air, right? It's like, that's what faith is. So that's what I remember even when I was like asking for the gift, I was like, I really just want it so that I know you're there. And so for me, that's been a game changer throughout my whole life. And then, I mean, I feel like I'm still on the faith journey. Like, I think the last 5 years especially have rocked me, just with stuff that's going on in our world. And COVID was kind of a weird time, am I right?
Yes.
Is kind of a weird time.
I've never had so much time to sit and think, right? And like scroll through media and like just all this stuff that I felt like I maybe not necessarily protected myself from, but maybe just didn't want to know was there through my 20s all came crashing down on me in my 30s. And so I feel like I'm still even on a mode of, what do we do as the church? And what do we do? What do I do during this time? And how can I be a, not even a good Christian, just like a good person?
So, okay, off script here, but you've been thinking about this now for a couple of years.
Yeah.
What are some of your answers to those questions?
For me, I think it's just not looking away. And really like asking yourself hard questions. And even like, this is something that I feel like has come up in multiple conversations I've been having recently is being okay with being uncomfortable. Kind of soaking in awkwardness and being okay with being wrong. I think I've never been more wrong in the last 2 years in my, or I probably have been, but I just didn't acknowledge it.
It's become more obvious when everything's changing so quickly.
I think leaning in and not being afraid to have conversations. And it's like, I think the church should be leading the way instead of pretending like problems don't exist.
Sure.
And that's just not true. And they're not going away.
Yeah.
If anything, it's getting stronger and stronger. And the world is a really messy place right now. And it's going to just keep being messy.
Yeah.
And so I think we need to just start addressing things.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to personally.
Yeah.
And so it's like I'm still on the journey along with anyone else and everyone else. I'm not perfect at it. I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'm leaning in.
Yeah. I can imagine working in Starbucks for as long as you did. You have proximity to issues and people and their challenges in ways that give in just access to conversations that probably have given you a much broader perspective on where people are coming from.
And I think what was cool about working with Starbucks too, and where I feel like working in ministry, this can at least be a challenge. I'm not saying this is what everyone deals with, but I had no agenda with those people. I feel like when you're in ministry, sometimes an agenda can creep behind you, and you can talk about the numbers of people going and attendance and, you know, things like that. That and I'm not saying those aren't important, and it is a part of it. But I think what was like has even like prepped me for what I do now is like, I had no agenda with people. I just wanted to love them and wanted them to know, like I would just, they were my friends. Like, and all my coworkers, the customers were my friends. And sometimes religion got brought up and sometimes it didn't. I think it's just about just get to know people. You
That's
know?
So good.
I'm curious if some of that like question asking and wrestling, if any of that were a part of your transition from being working at Starbucks to like, and now you're here.
Oh boy.
Doing something completely different.
And I think that was, I mean, I was considering, do I even want a job in ministry? Because I love the church, like the Big C church. And I was a little worried that I'd be, it would taint me, or mm-hmm. I would be like disappointed. Right. And kind of that, I'm actually pleasantly surprised it hasn't been like that yeah. before, actually. Yeah. And that's kind of one of my things where I know I'm at the right place and at the right time, because
yeah.
there's even things that are happening in me that I think are, I can bring to the table that kind of like genuine connection and talking about racial equality and LGBTQ plus. And it's like all those like hot topics or whatever. It's like, I've been thinking about this for a long time yeah. and I've been in it.
Having those conversations
and I'm having
with
the
people.
Conversations. Yeah. Yeah. And so coming here, it's been, I'm like, ooh, how is that going to look? And I have found that like
yeah.
more people are open than you think and more people are willing to talk.
Yeah.
I think we just can't assume that people aren't. It's about yeah. approaching it and
yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like finding that that's happening here and it's been
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah.
Actually. So
yeah, timing is important. I told somebody this the other day that pastoring through COVID has been strangely one of the most enjoyable times of ministry in the last 14 years, because it's been hard, but enjoyable may not be the right term, but I would say the questions and the conversations have levity. There's something more real about them
yeah.
And they're much more emotionally charged and they are much harder. But people are more open to talk about things than they ever were before.
Yeah.
Well, it's like you take away a stage, right? Like you take away
yeah.
the barrier, I think, that people think is there.
Yeah.
I don't think pastors necessarily view it that way, but
it can feel that way.
Yeah. or whatever, yeah. it can feel like that, that you're so separate.
Yeah.
But like having a common trauma is just...
Yeah. Yeah. It's oddly binding
yeah.
and allows you to just get past some of the shallowness
yeah.
of like, we now talk less about the weather and more about like COVID stuff.
How's your family? Like,
yeah.
are they healthy?
Yeah.
yeah. Even just like getting to that question as opposed to just like
yeah.
you said,
hey, it's been raining more. Like,
hey, yeah. Tuesdays, am I right?
yeah.
Like how many times do we hear that?
yeah. I yes. mean, even for a season, sports were taken away. And
yep.
so like, it wasn't even like the Blazer game or did you like, there was nothing. I do remember at one point, the world championship cornhole tournament was
yeah.
on ESPN.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And we all watched it.
Yeah,
I watched it.
Yeah. We
it's
you
the
know.
Best, actually, because it's either like frat boys or dads.
It was just so funny because it was like, this is where we've gone. ESPN
yes.
is hosting, like the main flagship is hosting
the
world
cornhole
championship.
Well, they got like five channels. They got to fill it with something.
And how amazing is that? I mean, who
yeah.
knew?
Who yeah. knew you could get sponsored for cornhole?
And who knew
you
what,
could in 2020?
Who knew what cornhole champion
right.
got inspired from watching that?
You never know.
And
yard games
never
will
on
never
the
be
lots
the same.
Lots of frat boys and dads.
It was never right. on their radar until yeah. that moment.
Yard games will never be the same. yeah. All that to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. The kind of conversations that we're having now. It's a different world.
Yeah,
a different time.
It is.
Because we didn't used to have these conversations, I don't think we had the skill set to have the conversations. We're having them, but
yeah.
I don't know if we know how to have them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is part of the reason why we're doing this podcast in the first place.
I love it.
But I want to know a little bit more. As you're sharing all these ideas, these things, I'm curious about the people, the books, the podcasts, the things you're listening to that are influencing you and helping you think about the world right now.
Yeah.
And the Bible and Jesus are fair answers, just FYI. But if you want to go beyond that too and share some
Bible
of those
and Jesus to me are just obvious. Like
right.
I'm, number one,
they're basically unstated.
I try to filter everything yeah. through Jesus
yeah.
and his eyes and his ways.
Totally.
His ways specifically and who he, that's where I'm like, I'm seeing the Bible in such a different light than I used to. It was like little kid felt characters, you know, the flannel graphs and like Noah's Ark. And it's like, I felt like I learned so much and absorbed so much as a kid. And I kind of just like quickly passed through it when I was an adult.
Right.
And then now there's such a different filter for me of like, I need like real answers now.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, it can't just be like hunky-dory and really happy all the time. And I just like love anyway, I love who Jesus was. He talked to all the misfits and all the outcasts, and those were his friends. And if I can, like, someone who is an example of leaning in, it's Jesus. So besides Jesus, he's my bro. I love Emmanuel Ancho and his series of Uncomfortable Conversations with a Black Man. And his book is really incredible. That's been a really, I love his, he's not afraid to have those conversations, right? He's having the awkward, like one of the shows he did was with like interracial couples, and it was so good. And it was just so like stuff that like I've grown up in predominantly white towns and small towns at that, country, like farmland. It's like my viewpoint is so, so small. And so one thing that I feel like has happened for me in this last couple of years is it's broadened really big time. And I'm seeing my, I'm seeing the world through multiple people's eyes instead of just my small little viewpoint. So he's been a really cool source. The Hate U Give is a really, really good book. That's also about racial equality, and it's about someone growing up in a predominantly Black neighborhood and what they've been through, and so, so good. And like I've been, I mean, documentary on documentaries too. Like When They See Us is a really good movie on Netflix and tells the story of kind of injustice. And so those things were like, I talk about it now so confidently, like I have, like I've been doing this forever, but it's not the case. Like this all became on my radar only 2 years ago. So I'm still new to the conversation. I'm still new to, what solutions could be, you know, I mean, I don't have the answers, but I'm listening. And I think that's probably my biggest takeaway is just listen to people, listen to their stories. You can't like make anything generic. It has to be about who you're meeting and the individual. It just doesn't, you can't come lump people together. You just can't.
That's so good.
You mentioned you grew up in a tiny town. Where did you grow up? Were you in Oregon or elsewhere?
I was in Eastern Washington, actually, near Spokane area. It's called Ritzville.
Oh, I've driven through Ritzville.
Oh, it's so
on the
tiny
way to Coeur d'Alene.
Great, Ritzville. Great town to
Ritz crackers.
I know it sounds like it should be made of crackers, but I don't think so. There's like a truck stop there. That is all that I know.
That's
about
what
Ritzville.
That's all anyone knows of Ritzville. So my dad planted a church in Ritzville, first Four Square Church in Ritzville. He also planted in another town over there, Odessa. So he planted two churches while we were in Eastern Washington, but then I've predominantly grown up in Oregon area, like Silverton and then Camby and Bend.
You have
for
been
a season.
In more rural places. Welcome to the city, my friend.
Thank you. It feels really good to be in the city.
Welcome to the suburbs.
At least the suburbs.
I mean, city compared to
Ritzville
or Silverton.
I've been a tiny town girl for sure. So it feels good to be a little closer to Portland now.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
And you mentioned your mom and dad, that they're awesome. Do you have siblings?
I do.
Well?
Yeah. I'm the youngest of four.
Okay.
I have an oldest brother who's married with two kids, and then two older sisters, and my sister's married brothers.
Oh, that's fun.
So they have the same last name.
Oh, that's confusing.
It's
and
very
all
weird.
The cousins, I assume,
they're double
look
cousins.
Like they could double be cousins. Siblings.
You can barely tell them apart. Like teachers, I guess, it, like because they're all in... some of them, a lot of them are in high school. And so they just say, oh, your brother. And she's like, no, that's my cousin. And so there's a lot of fun confusion there. And they each have three kids, and I love my nieces and nephews. They're killer people. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's fun.
It's really fun.
We talked about cornhole. Do you have any unusual hobbies or pastimes or things that you like to do for fun?
Unusual.
Weird obsessions we also accept.
Stamp collections.
I actually am a collector type.
Really?
What do we collect?
I'm kind of prone to it. I have way too many mugs now as an adult, like way.
And there's a difference between collector and hoarder because you're an organized person.
I'm an organized person. Right. So it's all in.
Right.
It's for my enjoyment. Yeah. Like, I make sure that
it's a curated collection of mugs. Yeah.
So mugs is probably my big thing now. When I was younger, I collected keychains. I was the kid who like jingled through the hallway with her backpack.
Had no keys, but just the keychains. I had that too for a while.
I collected, I don't know if you guys remember, like M&M dispensers.
Oh,
back
yes.
Back in the day when yeah, those were cool.
My grandpa had a
porcelain
bunch of those.
Dolls. Oh, so I mean, I was a collector.
So what do you do with your collections when you no longer want them?
Well, I'm lucky. I was an aunt at 17 years old. So I was able to like
stuff away.
Pass stuff down to my nieces and that's nephews. Cool. So, and I'm going to be honest, though, the porcelain dolls went to a garage sale.
Yeah.
No one wants those. I collected Barbies, too. Oh, my gosh. I collected a lot.
That's good. But
now
like,
I've narrowed
I'm
it
asking
down.
For somebody else, but do you did you collect American Girl dolls?
No.
Okay. All right.
Just, and if I did, I would give you all of them. 100%.
Are you in the market for
No, no. Just asking for a friend.
A friend.
I was gonna say, I might know someone that has three in her closet.
Okay.
So now I'm narrowed down to mugs. And I like nerdy things. Like I love the Harry Potter series.
So good.
I love Lord of the Rings. Like I like appear to people like I'm really cool, but when it comes down to it, I'm just super nerdy.
That's a facade.
Well, I just like stories. Like that's what's so like fun about and like the Narnia series. Like it's just such fun storytelling about just people being people, and I like get hooked like that.
So
those are kind of my nerdy things. I'm like oddly good at bowling.
Okay.
All right.
I'm not like necessarily like a sporty gal, but I sure can bowl a strike.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a good skill.
No one ever wants to go bowling.
That is true.
It's a rare thing to get people to join like just like for fun on a regular basis. You know?
Yeah.
Like a bowling league.
I know how I would totally be a part
of
a bowling league.
There's a bowling alley.
And make matching shirts. Oh my gosh.
Kingpin. Yeah,
I wasn't going that far, but.
Oh. I mean, no.
Like the Alley Cat Strike from the Disney
movie?
When
I do something, I'm all in. It's 100%. You got to, if you're going to commit to a bowling league, you got to have matching shirts.
Do you have your own bowling ball?
No.
Oh.
But she has a collection.
Because I haven't committed fully yet.
Okay. Yeah.
No one wants to do it.
That's how you know somebody. If you got your own shoes and you got your own
ball. And they have their little bag.
Then people know.
With my name engraved.
My parents were in when they first got married, they did that for fun. So they both had a ball. They both had shoes. And they had their initials engraved in the balls. And that's how you know somebody's legit.
That's how you know.
But like they only did that for like a year or two.
Oh my gosh. That is
awesome. It's something to aspire to.
Yeah. It is something to aspire to. And it's headed my way.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for being here.
Thank
it's been
guys.
Really fun getting a chance to introduce you
super fun.
To the church through this podcast. It's been really fun personally getting to know you over the last few months.
Ditto.
Been a lot of fun to hang with you.
Yes, you're on our hallway, so we see you a lot.
Yes.
The fun hallway.
I am in the good hallway.
You see the quiet hallway, now it's the fun hallway.
So if there's people listening to this that would like to be in touch with you, get connected to our experience team, how would
just
they go
just say hi to you on a Sunday morning?
Right.
Yes, I have a lanyard, and it says Noelle on it. And the white ones are the staff people, so that's how you know on Sundays. And
the white lanyards.
And I am in the lobby or at a door always. So come, please. I'm more of a face-to-face gal than any other way. And then we can go from there and get emails and stuff. But I'm always there.
Awesome.
I usher. I do the offering on Sundays too.
She does it
all. So you'll see my face there. Yeah. I'm the girl wearing Nike, probably.
Yeah, probably.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
All the Nike.
All in.
Well, you are in the right
Beaverton
town for that.
You got to go
the right
all
town
in.
For that.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, cool.
Awesome. Well, thanks guys for listening today. We hope you enjoyed getting to know Noelle. Again, we would totally invite you, if you see her in the lobby on a Sunday morning, say hi. Tell her that you listen to the podcast. Maybe ask her how her bowling is coming along. maybe you have a mug that you'd like to add to her collection.
Yes, please.
Any of those things. She's open to it. We are so glad you are listening. We would encourage you, if you had fun getting to know Noelle and you know somebody else that might want to get to know her through this podcast, feel free to share this episode with them. It's kind of a fun listen. We also would encourage you to make sure you are subscribed to the B4 podcast on iTunes or Spotify. When you do that, not only do you get the super fun conversational podcast that drops every Tuesday, but you also get our weekly liturgy episodes that drop on Thursday and our weekly teachings that drop on Monday. Again, thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys next week.